A smart sports bettor knows where to find the best odds before placing a bet. And that's why smart bettors use PropSwap, America's marketplace, to buy and sell sportsbook tickets. PropSwap customers always find the best odds because you're buying directly from other bettors like yourself. See a ticket you like but think the price is too high? Submit a bid for a price you think is fair and then buy it. Become a smarter sports bettor today. Go to PropSwap.com right now. PropSwap, where America buys and sells sportsbook tickets.
B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
But hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. Felger and Maserati. Tuesday, October 20th. Tuesdays during the football season. Maz means only one thing. Big boy. It's our buddy Greg Bedard from the Boston Sports Journal. He's on the large side, so it's a big boy Tuesday. You forgot your plushie, Maz. Disappointing.
I know. You have to go out and get it during the break.
Aw, Maz.
Greg Bedard, again, Boston Sports Journal. He's the guy that looks at the film. He breaks it down. Pluses, minuses, etc., the whole thing. So Greg is taking a look at Sunday's debacle against the Denver Broncos. And you begin with who? You begin with who, Greg, when you look at the analysis of that game?
Cam Newton. He just, this is now the second game in a row. Same thing against the Raiders where he struggled for stretches and really he played poorly in that game where he's just not seeing the field well enough. He's not seeing open receivers. He's not making decisions quickly enough, and it's cost the team. It didn't against the Raiders. They got away with it, but it did in this game, and that's where I start. Okay, what's so, going on with this team.
So you saw guys open and plays to be made, and he couldn't pull the trigger.
Yeah, I mean, the worst play was the sack that he took second and 10 at the Denver 24, that last sequence before they lost the game on downs there.
Huge sack. Put him in third and 16. Go ahead.
It was huge, and Damir Bird was wide open on a slant in the middle of the field. He saw him. He pumped or... you know, was going to pull the trigger. He didn't for some reason. I don't know if somebody flashed in front of his eyes. I didn't see it on film. But Bird was wide open from the start. The Broncos had a bust in coverage. If he hits him, there's a chance he scores a touchdown there. He doesn't even throw the ball. He could have thrown it in two different windows to Bird. He didn't do it. It reminded me of the miss to Edelman in the Seahawks game, where that throw that he missed to wide open Edelman on a skinny post in that game, that was their best chance to win the game. That was really the play that they could have won the game on, and he didn't make it.
So, Greg, is he basically the same player he was the beginning of the year, or is he regressing?
Maz, it's a great question. I don't have a ready answer to it. I mean, look, in the first game, they ran a lot, which was you figured they would start there sort of, all right, well, we're going to crawl before we can walk. And so they did that. Then the Seahawks game was, you know, now we look at it, we know it was an aberration with all the problems going on the Seahawks secondary. We thought, okay, well, now they could throw the ball. And he did. He threw the ball, even though the Seahawks were crap in that game. And they have been crap this year in the secondary. He still made really nice throws. He threw with anticipation. For some reason, he had a confidence about him. And then all of a sudden in the Raiders game, I don't know why. I don't know why he was second-guessing himself, but he was not decisive. He did not throw the ball well. I could give him a pass for this game, considering all that he's been through, not playing in 3 weeks, no problem, all that. But when you combine, I don't think you can ignore the Raiders game and this game put together. To me, it's that he is regressing, and now it's on Josh McDaniels and Jed Fish. They have to figure out, all right, well, what the hell's going on with Cam, and how do we get him back on track? Like, what do we need to do? Do we need to throw earlier in the game? Do we need to rep certain plays? Certainly the practice thing factors in when you're a quarterback. I mean, it does. But there were no excuses for him leaving that many plays on the field. I mean, the only pass play they had over 20 yards was Edelman's throw. I mean, that's pathetic. I don't think that's – I don't know if that's ever happened in Patriots' recent history.
Greg, well, look, they have the fewest 20-plus passing plays in the league. Greg, I mean, they get the fewest in the league. So it's not – you know, The point being, and I know he didn't play one of those games, but this is that part of it, Greg, has been there all year. I mean, the passing offense is shaky, no question about it.
Is he hurt?
No.
No.
I mean, not that I could tell. I did, there was, I forget when it was. It was late. It was in the third quarter, I think.
He hit his hand, didn't he? On someone's helmet?
I didn't see that. It maybe it happened. But there was a throw deep down the sideline, not the stutter and go that Bird had that Cam Newton underthrew that should have been a touchdown. But it was another out, I think, to Damier Bird where, he threw it with a lot of steam. So to me, I was like, oh, he's not hurt. But I do find it weird that he didn't complete one ball to the right side of the field, outside the numbers to the right. He only attempted two passes, and one was an interception and one was incomplete. All of his interceptions came from the right hash mark to the left sideline. That's weird. I've never seen that.
Okay, so that speaks to, just sort of following up on shoulder. Do you see a different throwing motion, all those batted balls? Is there any commonality there, Greg?
No, and I understand the concern about the batted balls. And there is Cam's always thrown the ball low. What I see as far as Cam's mechanics, there are times when you could definitely tell he didn't want to be hit. Like there was a third in the red zone. There was a third and 12, I think, a left out to Edelman where he basically threw a ground ball. He was completely pointed at the sideline. Yes, there was a blitz coming. There was an extra blitzer that he's in charge of that. He knows he's coming. There's going to be a free guy. I got to get rid of it. Most quarterbacks step into the throw, take the hit. Cam was pointing towards Belichick on the sideline and didn't make the throw. If Newton throws that ball in rhythm, Edelman has a chance to convert there on the first down. It would have been close. But that kind of stuff is going on.
Okay, so on top of Cam Newton, and you can join us, folks, Jimmy, if you could release the hounds, please, at 617-779-0985. Continued thoughts on the Patriots after Sunday's loss to Denver and where they stand big picture. What else was that play in that ball game, Greg? Because a lot of people here, let me steer you in this direction where people ought to say, well, they don't have the talent. They don't have the talent. And this relates to Newton. No one's open. They don't have the talent. They can't separate. They don't have the talent. They don't have the talent. Was Sunday about talent?
No, it was about lack of execution. I mean, look, I'm not going to sit. Certainly, and I outlined in my column at Boston Sports Journal, I outlined 10 different plays where if Cam makes one better decision or one quicker decision, the Patriots might win the game. He makes a lot more of those. They probably win going away. But a lot of those plays were nice calls from Josh McDaniels, guessing what the Broncos were going to do, and that's the role of the offensive coordinator. Some of that stuff was just the Broncos playing zone behind some pressure, and so they were just natural openings. But there are still, look, they are very limited, the Patriots. I mean, Damier Bird is fast, but he's not fast. They get nothing out of the tight end. Devin Asiasi was probably wide open about six times in this game, and they just don't even look his way. I don't know what that's all about, that you don't even throw the ball to the kid. And they don't really – Edelman was fine. I did not find any evidence of him sort of giving up or anything in this game, but he is limited. N'Keal Harry is playing boundary X, a number one sort of receiver, when he's really a number three or four at this point. So they are limited in terms of what they had to throw to. There's no question about that.
So Greg, bringing up Harry and Edelman, let me ask you just two quickies. Okay. Let's try to keep them tight.
Yep.
Was there a reason why those guys weren't targeted more in the first half? One target between them in the first half.
Not outside of Newton just missing them.
Okay. And then secondly, are you surprised that Newton didn't run more, particularly early in the game when it became apparent they were having some difficulty throwing the ball? And there were a lot of plays there, obviously, were on third down. They either turned it over or whatever. Okay. Sacks, the whole nine yards. But why didn't they run him earlier, Greg?
That went to, I think, his decision-making, and also I think it also went to the Broncos were attacking the line. And I think for the first time, and in hindsight, this shouldn't be surprising because Fangio is so smart and he runs such a good scheme and he has these guys playing really well. Plus they had even more time to prepare for the Patriots. That I think we saw an opponent attack the Patriots knowing that Cam Newton couldn't adjust. So there was a lot of late movement, a lot against the run and the pass. They were just like, well, whatever, we're going to show one look, and when he's going, we're just going to come after him. And I think that kind of spooked the Patriots, spooked Cam, and he didn't really – they weren't going to have many places to run, not with what the Broncos were doing up front.
Should people be worried about this team?
Hard to say. I want to see them after a full week of practice. Then I'll worry about it.
So no panicking yet, Greg? Or what?
No.
It's just practice. Didn't we think that this team would be able to overcome that? That this would be a team ideally suited to do it, you know? And again, I spent a lot of time on this yesterday.
Yeah, we think a lot of things, and then they don't happen.
Right, this is what I'm saying. I mean, we thought that adversity, that distraction, that Bill Belichick would have his team more ready than anyone else when it came to that sort of stuff, and it felt like they have succumbed to it more than anybody else. So
maybe we just, for the first time, discovered that Bill Belichick can't cure all with his mind, that you actually do need to practice to play football. And sure, you can make the argument about the Titans. The Titans did have a little bit more practice than the Patriots did. They also didn't lose their quarterback for 3 weeks. So look, I'm not going to make excuses for the Patriots, but in football, you kind of need to practice. And I'm not going to rip them, and I'm not going to panic until I see them actually practice and then play like this.
I just thought they were a little more mentally tough than this. That's all. I feel they've sort of gave into the situation, starting with the coach, and I did not think they'd be that.
Well, I agree with you on some of the calls that Belichick made, and I don't know why he didn't challenge the spot and other things in that game. You guys have been over it. But the fact of the matter is, if Cam Newton makes a play, one, the quarterback, you win that game, and then we're not talking about this. So to me, you can rip the whole organization and whatever all you want, but the fact of the matter is the quarterback played like crap for the second game in a row, and as a result, they lost.
Yeah, actually the third game in a row, but he didn't play the one in the middle, right? That was Hoyer and Stidham who stunk up that one. But listening to you talk about Newton, Greg, and I'll tell you what, as you were talking about that Damir Bird play near the end of the game, I just looked it up while Mike was asking you a question. He is open, Greg. He's open in the middle of the field. And there was
completely
another
completely wide open.
Okay, and there's another play like that that you pointed out to me earlier this morning. And so it does feel like Newton just wasn't processing stuff. Like he was so late. I mean, it's one thing to be late, but so late. I start to wonder, is he one of these guys that like Belichick's gonna have to hit him over the head every week and tell him this is what you have to do this week, or he can't function? Is he that kind of guy?
Maybe. I think they're gonna have to go back to basics, you know, with the running game and also Newton, but also in the pass game, they're gonna be like, all right, well, there was in the second quarter, first and 10 at the New England 19. There was a Patriots play. They run it all the time. Play action, bang action on a post, usually to the tight end. This time it was N'Keal Harry. It is wide open, and he doesn't throw it. I mean, that is a bread-and-butter Patriots play that they probably repped 50 times in training camp, and he doesn't throw it. I don't have any explanation for that. The coaches probably don't either, but they need to freaking figure it out.
He wasn't ready to go. Quarterback wasn't ready to go.
Nope.
I mean, I tell you, in those plays, he's holding on to the ball, and guys are open. I mean, there's no anticipation there on his part at all.
And it represents the way the whole operation was. The whole operation, from who's ever in charge of looking at the replays to the way Bill Belichick carried himself, the sense weren't ready to go, starting with the quarterback and the coach. So let's put it, you know, I mean, let's start at the top, not at the bottom. I don't know. That's what I would do. What would you do? What are your thoughts with the big boy? Your calls at 617-779-0985 right after this.
Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
A smart sports bettor knows where to find the best odds before placing a bet. And that's why smart bettors use PropSwap, America's marketplace, to buy and sell sportsbook tickets. PropSwap customers always find the best odds because you're buying directly from other bettors like yourself. See a ticket you like but think the price is too high? Submit a bid for a price you think is fair and then buy it. Become a smarter sports bettor today. Go to PropSwap.com right now. PropSwap, where America buys and sells sportsbook tickets.
It's the show the crowd goes wild for.
Boo.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5. Sports app.
He had an opportunity to win this game. Cam Newton had the chance to show everybody what he always wanted to show this offseason, that I can still do it. I can still carry a team. Demir Bird gets behind the corner on a go route. He throws the ball short. There was pressure. There was a cover zero blitz on the last play. You see that N'Keal Harry is peeling back out. Cam Newton has to stand in there and make that throw. Because for this team to move the football, for this team to be competitive, the games have to look like they looked yesterday, but Cam has to be Superman. And unfortunately for himself and for the New England Patriots, he couldn't be that in the most important moment, and that's why they took the L.
Some national reaction, which we like to do, to the way the Patriots looked on Sunday and what their issues are. It's Ryan Clark, ESPN. Big Boy says it's mostly on Cam Newton. The plays were there to be made, and he didn't see the field. He didn't see the field. He didn't see open guys. We've started to go back and pick our way through some of the plays that Greg was talking about. He's got a point, Maz. There's guys there. There were guys open.
Absolutely.
Okay, so to your calls here, as promised. David in New Bedford, lead us off today. Go ahead.
Yes, I was wondering. I haven't seen Jacoby Myers on the field, and I wondered what was up with him and why hasn't he been getting more play time. Thank you.
Okay, Greg, your thoughts there?
Oh, maybe we lost the big boy?
Hello.
Sorry.
Okay, there we go.
Go ahead, try it again. Jacoby Myers.
I'm not exactly sure, but it looks like he lost playing time to Gunnar Olszewski when he came back, and that would jive with what we saw in training camp. It seemed like Gunnar was running ahead of Jacoby, and so, you know, that's where they are. I really think they need to figure out what they're going to do as far as receiver and move people around. Not that I think that anybody needs to be benched or anything, but I think they need to start looking at some younger and quicker options if a lot of these plays are going to take time to develop.
Talking about this game, though, that conversation misses the mark. In other words, their lack of talent in the pass-catching department was not why they lost this game. The guys they had were open. The guys they had were open, and Newton wasn't seeing the field. He wasn't ready to go.
Quarterback didn't get rid of the ball.
Okay, so if we're talking about a 38-35 loss to Kansas City where you can't keep up, then you can give me the talent. Are you losing at Seattle? Okay, you're undergunned, or a game like that. Home Denver, which Denver might end up as a 4-12 team or something like this.
They're better than I thought they were, but go ahead.
They're going to be 4-12, okay, because their coach is just a defensive coordinator. And I know you like him, but any coach that allows, you know, what's-his-face to throw the ball like he did at the end of that game.
Unbelievable.
Is a complete imbecile and has no chance. Okay,
yeah, so. I mean, great coordinator we'll see on head coach.
Okay, well, I've seen it. It's over. Okay, Denver's a four-win team. All right, so it wasn't about talent. And, oh, by the way, the guys you do have, whether it's Gunnar Olszewski or Jacoby Myers or Demir Britt, they were there. They were open. If the ball gets there and they drop it, then we'll talk about that. But the ball never even got there. So that's the matter at hand today. Bob and Needham. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, Felger, you just took part of my point away. Why the hell were they throwing the ball? The only reason the Patriots were even in the game was that inexplicable coaching, letting Drew Lock throw two interceptions when all they had to do was hand the ball to Lindsey and grind out the clock. Maz, you said it the other day, by the way. They didn't punt the ball to the fourth quarter. This is a terrible team they were playing, and you're telling me it's not just the defense didn't play that well, the offense was god-awful. This is why Brady could paper over it, because he wouldn't miss all those wide-open receivers when the other team hands you a chance to win the game. Brady would have saw N'Keal Harry on the post wide open. He would have saw the tight end wide open. He would have made the plays. Cam Newton is a shell of himself. You know, what do you expect from
him? Okay, well, he's a shell of what he was just 3 weeks ago. That's the matter at hand.
Exactly.
So if Cam Newton was just playing the way he was in the first couple weeks, then we're not even talking about this either. The problem is what's happened since then. And yes, he gets COVID, so he's out and he's away from the facility. So what's he doing there? So, you know, is he doing everything he can to prepare, or is he even allowed to? Like, you know, I mean, there's something there because Ryan Tannehill came back and felt like he didn't miss the cliche is miss a beat. I don't think he missed a beat. He's been unstoppable since he came back. So Cam Newton comes back and his game has sort of fallen apart. So I don't know. You tell me, is there a question there?
It's a good point again, because Greg, you watched it more closely. But the types of mistakes that he was making, and I recognize he's still relatively new to the offense. Should a guy who's been in the league 10 years be holding on to the ball that long?
No. Those were routine plays that he should have made, and he just needs to pull the trigger, and he didn't for whatever reason. And it was very similar to the Raiders game. Why he's doing that, I couldn't tell you. I don't know what they're doing in the meetings. I don't know what they're doing on the practice field when they do practice. But I can tell you that that he should have made those plays. One other point that I wanted to bring up, and you saw the contrast to this, and we talked a little bit about the offseason, and one of the things that a couple of things that worried us about Newton were, number one, his tendency to stare down receivers, which you talk about the batted passes. We talked about that earlier. Some of it is his low delivery, but really a lot of it is also these defenses know they need to keep him in the pocket. So they're not really worried about rushing him like a pocket quarterback. So what they do is they must rush, and then they read his eyes and jump up instead of rushing him and giving him lanes. And that's a reason why he gets batted passes. And I just think in general, what I saw in this game was the Broncos, and this drove me crazy. The Broncos ran with a much better tempo on offense and defense. They were ready to go. They knew what they wanted to run. The quarterback was decisive. And with the Patriots, what'd you get? Get to the line, survey around, what's going on? Cam gets back. There's an all-out blitz, and Cam still isn't picking up his tempo, and he's getting hit. It was driving me crazy watching this game.
And, you know, the excuse is, well, what do you want? They only practiced twice in 2 weeks, which I say...
That's crap. That's fine for the first quarter.
Go ahead.
Certainly not for the fourth quarter.
Thank you. That's okay for everybody else. I thought you weren't everybody else. The whole point of Belichick and his program and the way he runs it and the culture here is that you're not like everybody else. You overcome that. We all thought they would, especially against this opponent. And to give into it and to, you know, have that be the reason is just, that to me is still the most disappointing thing of all.
I mean, there was that one sack. In fact, it might have been the play that Illuminor got hurt on where the guy closed on him the whole way. There was nobody over there blocking. And Greg, I think you were talking about this play earlier. The fact that he didn't feel that guy coming blew me away.
How long was he holding that for?
Oh, he held it forever. Get rid of the ball. Stan, what are you doing?
Stan in Medfield, go.
Hey, what's going on, guys? So I think this team's a 500 football team, and if they're not, they're a 9-7 football team. I don't think they've done anything to get better than last year. And you saw what happened last year. They got trounced by the Titans. The Titans are a better team this year. Other teams in the league have gotten better, and they've gotten worse. They're not going to go anywhere. They have to start looking to the future.
Okay, well, you know, to me, I'll take 9-7. Can you get me to 10-6? Can you win the division at 9-7, 10-6? I still think it's possible.
They better wake up fast because the next 2 weeks are huge.
Well, the arrow's pointing down on Buffalo.
Yeah, they've turned into a pumpkin.
And Miami has just decided to go with a rookie quarterback after winning three of their last four, whatever. They're on a pretty good, decent little run here for Miami. They've actually played themselves back into it, and now they're going to a rookie quarterback. So 9-7 might be good enough to win the division and play a home playoff game. So I'll actually take that. I think that's fine. I think that's a fine result for this transitional year. I'm sorry, Greg. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't believe what the caller said. I think they are better than this. I think when healthy, or at least, you know, with some prep, the offensive line is still really good. I think the running game is there. I think that they need to get Cam on the right page. They could use upgrade in their weaponry for sure. I think the defense is still good. They're really light at defensive tackle. But the big thing is this four-game stretch coming up between the Niners, the Bills, the Jets they'll win, and the Ravens. They have to at least go 2-2. Anything less than that, I don't know. I think this is the season here.
Oh, so I'm with you. They can't dig a hole. You know, I don't know if they're good enough to come out of a big hole. So that I'll agree with. Guy in Boston, real quick, what do you got for us?
Yes, I got a question for Greg Bedard.
Oh,
talking about Cam Newton, if he threw this pass, that pass, If Denver was playing ball like they're supposed to, they should have won that game by 20 points. And, Felger, you're going 9-7. They might win two more games against the Jets. And if the Jets beat them, I'm going to call and torture you. Bye.
Bye. No thank you today.
Here comes Big Jim Murray's update, and then we're back with three up, three down from Sunday. That should be a bloodbath.
So you're a business that's thriving. But then, oh, don't just bounce back. Bounce forward with serious and reliable gig speed internet. But is it secure? Sure, it's secure.
So how do I do this?
We do this together. Bounce forward with Comcast Business.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Mads.
That guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it.
No. It's time for three up.
Dives to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
Nice call.
And three down.
I don't even understand the call. You're trying to go vertical on third and four. I'd rather run him on a slant with his size.
With Greg Bedard of BostonSportsJournal.com. Three up.
And the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
Three down.
He blows.
Here on Felger and Mez.
Okay, eagerly awaited segment. I know this because it's now sponsored.
Nice.
Sponsors have got to get in on this. Three up, three down with Greg Bedard is brought to you by Massachusetts General Hospital. Mass General reminds you not to delay important preventive screenings or follow-up care during COVID-19. For more information on in-person and virtual appointments, visit massgeneral.org. Okay, he's looked at the film. He's broken down the All-22. Maz has just done this from his couch, but be that as it may, three up, three down from this game. Who's your number one star for the Patriots, Greg?
Jonathan Jones, one of the best, well, at least most clutch performances that I've seen by a Patriots cornerback in recent times. With he had six impactful plays. Three were in the end zone. He had the interception, which was a ridiculous catch. Can he play offense? Because that might be helpful. But I thought he was tremendous.
Impactful plays. Are those kind of plus plays, Greg? Are those
yes.
The same thing? Impact. Okay. Yep. I also had Jonathan Jones. I thought he was the best Patriot on the field Sunday. Tremendous game.
Okay. Number two.
Jermaine Illuminor / Halte Froholt.
Oh, Jesus.
With the injury replacement. You got that, Felger?
Yeah,
do I need to explain
it
to you?
I got it.
For both those guys combined, a complete sheet. I didn't even notice Froholt on the field. Again, this is another week where I'm asking, why the hell isn't this guy playing more? Like, why did it, like, they still, even with more injuries and COVID and all this stuff, they still weren't going to play him on Sunday until they were forced into it with an injury. And he goes out there and he plays like an all pro. I don't get it.
This is why the sponsored segment, because this segment is sponsored, because there's only one person in town who would say, I keep pounding the table. Why aren't they playing? I'm sorry. What's his name again?
Froholt.
Halte Froholt.
His first name. Halte Froholt more. There's only one place to get that, and that's right here.
Halte. Who goes there?
Mass?
Adrian Phillips. I thought Phillips was good, too. I thought they were the two best Patriots. Surprisingly, I thought Juwan Bentley was good, but Phillips was better.
No, Phillips, I thought, was the one guy that gave a crap in that
game.
Yeah,
he was good. Phillips was good in this game.
You know, and
he's been pretty good for them all year, I think.
They were run blitzing him or whatever, because I felt like he was in the backfield quite a bit. He made a few plays, and just his body language, it was like, I just sort of viewed it like he was the one guy that had a burr up his ass in that game. Anyway, Greg, who's your number three star?
Number three star is J.C. Jackson. Outside the 3rd-and-21 play, which he really wasn't responsible for, I put that more on Jason McCourty, and we can get more into that in a second. But I thought he was really good in this game as well. And again, I come asking, why is Jason McCourty starting over J.C. Jackson? Does he have is there a game started clause in Jason McCourty's contract that Belichick wants to pay out? Like, what's the deal? What are we doing here?
I already have been had my feet in the secondary, so I actually went with a skill position player. The only one who I thought was half decent, James White. That's it. I thought everyone else sucked in this game except James
Harris
White.
Was decent.
Yeah. He
was some tough yards.
Yeah. Right, James White.
Let's get to the suck.
Yes, it's the fun part.
Three up, three down. Who's the number one down?
Cam Newton. If he makes one play with his arm in this game, the Patriots win it. I was talking to somebody at halftime. I was like, well, this is one of those typical Patriots games where in the past you'd be like, well, that The opposing team really screwed up. They didn't score any touchdowns. Brady's going to make them pay, and they're eventually going to win. Is Cam Newton going to do it? That would be a big fat no.
Isaiah Wynn, to me, he sucked in this game. So now after all these crap draft picks that they've taken the last few years, I got to worry about the fat kid from Georgia now too. That's what I have to do. He sucked.
The running back's a bust. The receiver looks like a bust. Now the left tackle.
So, like, again, overall, when he's been out there, I'd say he's been fine.
On the strip sack.
He got trucked.
Oh, my God.
He got absolutely run over on that play.
That was embarrassing.
Was that Chubb who ran him over?
I thought it was
Chubb. He got tripped.
It was. Oh, I was going to say.
Oh, when he tripped him.
Okay.
Yeah. So I don't give a rat's ass. He still got run over.
I'm just telling you.
Well, I mean, so there's the excuse because, I mean, he must outweigh him by 100 pounds.
He sucked, and the offensive line in this game was not good. I know, all respect to Holte. Halte, whatever his name is.
Yelda. Greg. Sorry, it's
okay.
Yelda.
Okay, so I'll allow for him. I wouldn't pick on him anyways, a third-string center for crying out loud.
Yeah, the legend of Yelda.
The rest of them sucked. The offensive line sucked in this game. They got manhandled.
Number two dud, Greg.
Isaiah Wynn. He gave up a half a sack, a hit, 2.5 hurries, 2 run stuffs. Look, he was limited. He was dealing with whatever he has, his calf or whatnot, ankle. It was bothering him. I think that's part of the reason why they kicked him inside to keep him, or at least tried to initially keep him from having to play in the space until injuries made him shift back outside. But he was not 100%. I'm not gonna hang this on him. I think he tried to tough it out for his team, and he just wasn't good.
See, Greg, you study the film. I have what's known as recall, and Isaiah Wynn sucked. I saw that one loud and clear. Number two, Jason McCourty. He sucked, too. He was playing safety on that play, that 3rd and 21. Yep. He got over there late. He got beat on the pass to start the game on the first series. He wasn't good at all in this game.
All right, discuss this now. Jason McCourty over J.C. Jackson. You have a problem with that, Greg? Even though on that play they were in it together and that, you know, because McCourty was playing a safety, which you don't have to explain to me. But either way, at corner, McCourty, Jason is getting run over J.C. Jackson, and you have a problem with that.
Yeah, I mean, because J.C. Jackson's better. I mean, everybody knows it. It's a documented fact, no matter what kind of advanced analytics or film that you look at. J.C. Jackson's better. Jason McCourty starts every game. I think Jackson has started one game so far this season. It's cost the Patriots early in games. Now, look, the 41-yarder to start the game, that was pretty good coverage. It was just a great throw and a great catch. But still, it's 41 yards on Jason McCourty. That play, the 3rd and 21, I thought it was the Patriots being too cool for school, where they're like, oh, because they love interchanges. Jonathan Jones is playing safety. Now it's Jason McCourty's playing safety. We're going to be so crafty that you can't figure out what we're going to do. And then all of a sudden, the safeties don't get great splits when they're playing Tampa 2, and he gets beat by a foot. And I thought that was mostly McCourty's fault. I could be wrong. I'm no football expert, but that's the way I saw it.
You are our football. That's why you're on. You're not on for your sparkling personality. You're on because you're our football expert.
Yeah. Mike, allow me on this one, if you would. Jimmy Stewart, if I were to ask you why Jason McCourty is playing over J.C. Jackson, what would you say?
Hush money, Naz.
Some sort of protected class. Like the McCourtys are Belichick's, you know.
Whoobies.
They're agents in the locker room. They're his guys. And so, I mean, I don't know. Like, it's not too hard to figure that out.
It was the only way they were getting Devin back. Had to make that trade.
Who was the third dud, Greg?
Jason McCourty. Those two plays accounted for 40% of Locke's 189 yards.
Jesus. Maz?
I went a Newton third. I mean, we had the same three guys, basically, but in different orders. All three of those guys sucked. Okay. And I have more if you want them.
Okay, we'll get to more. More suck coming up. More problem. What's the problem with Cam Newton? That's who Greg puts, who's he put this loss on? He puts it on Newton. What are your thoughts? Long commercial-free segment is next.
It's not complaining.
Oh, you're the mean boss. Aw.
It's just Felger.
No, 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 no. It's always no.
Felger, Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Man, oh, man. This looks like a disaster to me. I mean, I never saw that arm talent. I never. He wouldn't snap the football. He was kind of pushing the ball. Dan would know a lot more about it than me. And he wasn't accurate down the field, which we've seen throughout his career. But with Josh McDaniels, I give him so much credit because early, like through the season, we've seen him be accurate in those deals. But this is scary to me. Because, look, we all know there's no weapons out there. And the fact, like, we see that highlight where Cam's sitting there waiting.
Sure.
You got to throw guys open. And unfortunately, right now, I don't know if Cam's accurate enough or has the zip on the football to throw guys open.
Or the decision making. I mean, that's really what this came down to, him not trusting what he was seeing and getting rid of the ball and anticipating guys being open. Guys were open for Cam Newton. It was hard to tell, you know, in real time. I didn't know. I mean, I assume what most people assume. He's holding it because no one's freaking open. Like, there's no one there. They don't have anybody. No one's open. So, of course, he's holding it. But you go take a look at the bigger picture. Guys were there. Plays were there to be made, and he wasn't making them. He couldn't pull the trigger.
Could it be that he doesn't trust his arm? Like, in other words, some of those throws are a little bit down the field. You know, you're talking, I don't know, 20 yards from where he's standing, maybe a little bit more. Greg, could it be that he doesn't trust his arm?
It could be. To me, it was just, for some reason, he wasn't seeing the field like he should. And also, just in terms of his tempo of being in the play. Like, you know, there was that, actually, it wasn't a screen pass, but the swing pass to James White that got tipped and picked off. It's like, all right, first of all, they're blitzing. Second of all, Wynn gets beat. Like, are you going to hurry up and do something? Right. Or are you just going to go through your drop and get your steps and then throw it? Like, hurry the F up. I mean, we're playing football here.
Okay.
He was slow. He was slow processing it.
As promised, back to your thoughts. Jacob in New Hampshire. Go, Jacob.
Hey, Greg, I got a couple questions for you. One, what do you think is a bigger need, wide receiver or the front seven? Two, why the hell is Jijiq Wise Jr. on this team? Like, I've never seen someone get so much pressure on the quarterback and not actually get the sack. He's just flaring his arms all over the place, and the quarterback's running circles around him. It's like running from a bear with a broken freaking leg.
Okay.
Like, what the hell does he do well?
All right, give me Wise second, first biggest need.
So he said wide receiver or front seven? Well, I mean, it depends on if you're going to get anybody back at defensive tackle. Like, is Coward coming back? Is this guy Carl Davis going to play? Because he is a veteran, big body. Maybe, you know, he should be able to plug in and play. Right now, they don't have enough at defensive tackle. That was part of the reason, I think, for their approach on Sunday. And it was
what was their approach on Sunday?
Their approach on Sunday was basically they played with two down linemen, and depending on alignment, one of the edges would kick inside. And on the first play of the game, you had Adam Butler playing nose tackle and Chase Winovich playing five technique inside. And I was just like, oh boy, it's going to be a long day in the run game. And they just decided they knew they couldn't match up physically to the Broncos up front. So they just sort of tried to spread them out, try to get one-on-one matchups, try to hit gaps with Bentley and Phillips. It was one of those typical, you know, you guys probably remember it, you know, one of those pants-off Jamie Collins games where for the next week we would have been getting calls about how Jamie Collins is the greatest linebacker ever and the MVP of this team, when really it was just the scheme where they just said, just go ahead, run forward. And it's fine in spots. It's fine against some teams, but the Broncos were just – much better up front. And Lindsey's a good running back, you know, undrafted in 2018.
He is good.
He's my ideal running back.
Yep.
Undrafted, cheap, quick.
Pro bowler as a rookie.
What's that?
Pro bowler as a rookie. Should have been offensive rookie of the year.
But he's quick through the hole.
Yep.
He's tough. Decisive, tough, cheap, no draft pick.
Yep.
As soon as he wants money, see you later. I'll get the next guy. But that's it. That's the prototype.
Yep.
Lindsey, right there for me at that position. But so they did sign a veteran defensive tackle. What's his name again, Greg?
Carl Davis.
Did you hear Bill today on the conference call about him?
Yeah.
He was asked about him. He said, you know, what'd you see him? He said, well, he has experience and he was available. It was.
He did, yeah.
It was
basically, he was breathing.
Oh, my God. This poor guy. Yeah, he's played before and he was there. Oh, wow. This poor guy.
Well, he's down on his team, huh? He is down on his team, man.
That's the defensive line personnel mantra right now.
Jim in Ohio. Go ahead, Jim.
Hello?
Jim.
Yeah.
Jimmy.
Hey, sorry. Hey, just wondering, do you think Newton's going to be like Rajon Rondo and just show up for these big games?
So, you know, I don't know. To me, the jury's out on Newton, and the jury was out on Newton even when it looked good the first couple weeks. when it felt like he was doing almost all the right things, saying all the right things, working on his game, like felt like that quote unquote perfect fit. And I remember saying then, like, let's just wait, because this, you know, he has not been a player that's typically responded well to adversity. And it, well, let's just see on the fit. You know, you don't know. It's a grind here, and it's a long haul. And let's see how he stands up to the grind and the long haul. And he couldn't even get through a month without stepping in it. And this is, again, going back to the COVID thing, whether that's his fault or not, you can debate it some other time. He's the only quarterback in the league who landed on the list. He's the only quarterback in the league who put his team in this position. Only guy. So that's some bad luck if that's bad luck. Or maybe it's something more. Maybe it is careless or what. You know, I mean, I don't know. All I know is Newton and the COVID has cost you potentially two games.
I mean, if this is a Rondo thing, then his career is going to end fast, because his career is at stake this year.
He feels like a better guy than Rondo.
Me too. I agree. See, I don't think it is that.
I mean, I think Rondo's a first-class turd, and I don't think Newton is that. But again, Newton, everyone has flaws, and he has them. And whether he can, you know, handle the long grind of being here and doing the right thing every day and then showing up the next day and doing it again and doing it again and doing it, that's not for everybody. And until you see someone do it, you can't say they are cut out for it. And again, him landing on the COVID list has potentially cost you two games already. That's the only quarterback in the league where that's happened. And I'm sorry, I just feel the need to bring that up.
And I'll tell you, after looking at these plays that Greg has talked about, like somebody, his inability to pull the trigger and, you know, process the play to understand that a guy was going to make a cut and be open before he actually was open scares the crap out of me. Because if he's one of these guys that can only throw when a guy is wide open way ahead of time.
Well, he's not going to get it here.
Right. Forget it. You got no shot.
John and Brockton.
Well, I mean, look at this.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
In that game, the Broncos blitzed, I want to say, 40. They blitzed 40% of the time. They had heavy blitzes, like more than five, seven times in that game. And did you ever sense Cam Newton ever speeding up to say, all right, here, something's coming? I mean, like, let's take the final play, for example.
No awareness, Greg, none.
No, I mean, like, you could see there were 12 seconds left on the play clock on the final 4th-and-10 play. And you start seeing, you've seen their safeties during the game start to cheat in. And they get a running start. Does Cam Newton stand back and do the Patriots use a call called easy, where it's like, all right, everybody relax for a second, then we're going on first sound after that, normally how it works. But so these guys are charging in from the secondary. There's 12 seconds left on the play clock. Does Newton do anything to slow them up? No, they just run full sprint 40 yards away to come in and blitz. And he makes it even harder for himself. So
something just to disrupt their timing. You should have seen that coming. And again, you say the play clock. The clock was stopped. I think it was an out-of-bounds play the play before. So it's not like you were racing against the real clock.
Right.
You had time to sort of slow them down, have them show themselves, you know, disrupt their timing. Just a small, subtle little game management thing. And he just let it go in the regular timing, and they had a full running just go at him. And he still, Greg, I thought, released the ball too early. He could have held that for an extra second to get Harry the time. I thought.
Yeah, he could. And he, you know, he was just, he's just not processing the game. He's not up to game speed. Like, he's not, they're coming with all out blitzes, and you got to be like, all right, well, I got to get it out in 2.5 seconds, or I got to do something. I got to use my legs. But he's just not doing that. And I think the other teams are starting to, and Fangio is very smart. They're starting to attack the Patriots, knowing that Newton doesn't have, and we talked about this early in the season, he doesn't have any alternatives at the line. He doesn't have many checks or audibles or things like that. So once you bring late pressure, Cam Newton's locked into what he's doing, and now teams, I think, are seeing on film that he's slow processing, so they are just coming after him. He's got to get faster, or this is going to keep going on and on.
All right, let's pick this up right on the other side. Here's an update first from Big Jim Murray. No commercials, and we're right back with you.